The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
That's our guy, Rob Fisher. You can see him on YouTube right now in X.
The Fan Hotline
presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
Pony, I haven't asked you. You were our voice guy for this one. Were you trying to sound like the guy who talks at the beginning of a certain legal procedural
that wasn't
drama?
Okay. That's not me.
Not you. Okay.
Our apologies in advance if Rob sounds distracted. He's watching Connor Griffin attempt to homer
for the third time.
I was
literally watching that on my feed.
Yeah.
That home run.
Can I ask you a quick question about that? Now, this is impromptu here. Like, how do you think, or why do you think it is that no Major League Baseball player through the MLBPA has ever challenged legally being held back in the minor leagues for salary, for contract,
for money
manipulation,
reasons.
Like, yeah,
service
arbitration,
time, all that
service
stuff.
Time manipulation reasons, Rob?
I don't know. I would say that maybe it has to do with the way that they have the collective bargaining agreement between the players and the league. It has to be, right? Because you're right. Why? What? There's no other league on planet Earth that they held you back. And then worse, you come up and you're strapped with a certain salary for 3 years before you can even get the arbitration to argue that you're worth more.
Rob, my question is more, what kind of proof would a player have to furnish? So say Griffin hits 500 all spring and hits 12 home runs, and it is readily apparent that he is the best shortstop on the roster, which I think most people believe subjectively already. How could you, without a smoking gun, though, if you were his side, like text messages or like somehow formal written communication, how could you prove that they are holding you back for underhanded reasons, I'll say?
You probably couldn't, because look at the precedence of how everybody else that's held back, right? I mean, there's a long history of just players being held back. I mean, Pirates being one of those organizations like anybody else, like waiting till July 1st or whatever the dates are to kick everything back another year. And on their side, isn't it a business decision, right? If you can wait till if it's July 1st and you get another year of the best player since Willie Mays, don't you do that? I mean, isn't that the business decision to make?
But your point is, it's a screwed up business model, and it is where we have to even have these conversations. And you're right; it's not just the Pirates. The Cubs did that with Chris Bryant too.
Yeah,
all right, so Sid gets hurt in the Olympics. The World Baseball Classic is coming up. There's questions about players getting hurt in games, sanctioned games, but games that don't involve their major league teams or NHL teams. Some major league players have even been forced to sit out the World Baseball Classic for what they're calling insurance reasons. So let's talk about off-the-clock injuries. When Sid gets hurt and injured and misses time for the Penguins because he plays for Team Canada, who picks up the medical bills there? Do the Penguins? Does the Canadian hockey team? If he's out for a long time, do the Penguins get made whole by the Olympics? How does that work, Rob?
So hockey and baseball are different. I had to go look them up just to see. So let's start with Sydney. The NHL and the NHLPA agreed in the collective bargaining agreement to all eligible representatives to go play in the Olympics, right? So they have it in their labor deal. Everybody's free and clear to go play. The Olympic, as long as the IIHF, which is the International Ice Hockey Federation, writes up the insurance policy with the Olympics correctly and it's insured by the Olympics, everybody's eligible to go. So if, Sydney's hurt and can't play, the insurance policies will pick it up that are worth millions of dollars. That they, the premiums they're paying on these policies are millions of dollars to allow these hockey players to play.
And the Olympics are paying for that, you're saying? Not the NHL?
That's what I read. That's what it said.
All right.
It's the Olympics that pays the premiums to allow the players to play. So if Sydney had been out permanently, then the Penguins would have been reimbursed
through the Olympics
salary. And then you wonder, and I don't know how they're written, you wonder if they'd be reimbursed any other kind of losses. Like let's say now they don't make the playoffs, right? I don't know how that would work. Depends on how the policy's written. But at least they'd be reimbursed for any player losses.
Now, how about the World Baseball Classic? How is that different?
So baseball is a lot different. So you guys know that all Major League Baseball contracts are guaranteed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So each player has to have their own individual insurance policy through the WBC. And it's crazy because they don't insure anybody over the age of 37. So that's a no. If you're a high risk injury player, you know, years of injuries, they won't insure you. So then if you're the player, if they won't insure you, you have two options. Either you hope the team will still back you, or you convert your contract to non-guaranteed and you play under a non-guaranteed contract. So if you get hurt,
they can rip it.
You're out of luck.
Holy cow. Yep. That is fascinating.
That would seem to disincentivize certain players from bothering to participate here.
I guess Carlos Santana played last year without insurance, but the team backed it. They said, go ahead, go play. We're going to back your contract. But then, there's somebody else that is playing this year. I can't even remember who it was. He just signed a one-year, $2 million contract with the Astros, and he's going in non-guaranteed, and he's just going to play and hope he doesn't get hurt. I got to figure out. I forget who it was.
How do you think it would work with Skeens? He's not making a lot of money. He doesn't have a history of injuries. So do you think in that case the World Baseball Classic would insure him, Rob?
Yeah, they must have because he's playing. Right. They must have insured him because he's playing. I assume that premium's a lot higher based on his future earning capacity, right? I mean, I also imagine he's carrying some of his own policies for himself, if I had to guess. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, then there's also Tarek Skubal, who's only going to pitch like one tune-up game because he stands to cash in a hilarious way after this season if he pitches well again. So I would imagine his policy's got to be astronomical too.
Maybe right. He doesn't have one. Maybe that's why he's only making that spot start, Chris.
Or that's a negotiated thing where the policy costs less because the risk to him is theoretically lesser. By the way, Rob, just as a broad like question here, did you like have to train yourself to speed read or anything with all the actual reading that a lawyer has to do on very dense contractual language? I'm always curious about that.
Yeah, I can speed read. It's a picked up habit. Yes.
Is it hard to find these documents too?
No, that popped up right away. AI is a wonderful tool. Everything got to me very quickly.
All right, Rob, we will talk next week.
Thanks, Rob.
See you, Rob.
Thanks, guys.
Back to Connor Griffin watching. Back to the
Sports Court with our guy, Rob Fisher.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.